If you remember, last week we discussed from all different scriptures about the potency of calling on the names of God. We emphasized how vibration, how sound has an effect on consciousness. You remember in the Bible the description of how the walls of Jericho came falling down due to collective congregational chanting. We are at a time now we have to bring some walls down. We're at a time now where we have to play our part in being able to make an actual viable transition with the present world order so that man has a significant future. We have been discussing many world order problems. We have been discussing many metaphysical and spiritual conceptions. Just as the last week or so, we've been hearing about genocide. And you're always hearing the last few years about the drug problem. And we know about the threats of nuclear war and the resource depletion. And then we are seeing everywhere there is racism and there is tribalism and there is all kind of sovereign concerns, nationalism. It begins to make a person wonder, how can there be an actual change of consciousness on the planet? It begins to frighten some people in thinking that maybe there is no hope. Because even there are so many wars amongst the religions, many of the struggles that right now are going on this planet are due to religious conflicts. Well, religion should be one of the most significant schemes of activity to unify man, where in fact we see that in these days it is becoming one of the elements of fragmentation. We see the air is polluted, the water is polluted, the sound vibrations are all polluted with all kinds of satanic songs and what have you. So one can feel very depressed, demoralized, and even become frustrated from being an actual soldier. What can be done? What kind of techniques can we use to make some significant change? Well, first, these things are increasing due to the fact that the ethers of the atmosphere are so contaminated. We contaminate the ethers by our improper thoughts. We contaminate the ethers by the kind of sound vibrations that we speak and that we hear. We contaminate the ethers by allowing our bodies to control us rather than we controlling the body. We contaminate the ethers by being outside of our connection with the electrified source, with the higher association with the Lord and the angelic beings. So, to establish a proper situation, we have to do some reconditioning. We have to bring some significant changes on all aspects of our existence. And one very, very dominant and most significant way is through mantra. We are in a situation where more people are experiencing disease. We're in a situation where more people are having nervous breakdowns. Well, it is significant that we learn how to protect ourselves. It is significant that we learn how to be able to summon help. Because on our own, we are in a very bad situation. There are so much subliminal effects that's beyond our control. There is so much projection of all kinds of psychic energy from within the universe, from extraterrestrials, the negative ones. There is so much effects that is going on from various types of mind control activities. Whether it's even coming from your radio, your television, whether it's coming from other types of instruments, electrified instruments that you have, that practically we are oblivious and unaware to most of the kind of subtle energies that we're being affected by daily. So, what to do? How does one move around outside of all of those kinds of things? We are here to tell you, beloved, that the vibrations that you hear and the vibrations that you utter is going to have a significant amount to do with how you survive. It is going to have a tremendous amount to do with what happens to your physical body, and it's going to have a significant amount to do with what happens to your subtle body and how you awaken the actual soul. There is something happening to the black race, and we don't usually talk about this because it can be dealt with in different ways. It can confuse people, it can frighten you, but if we frighten you today, we only want to do that to rush you faster toward the Godhead. There are people on the planet who are very expert mentalists. Mentalists are people who have the ability to enter into your mental space, to affect your thoughts, to read your minds. Beloved, we do not want to involve ourselves in racism in a way to increase your hate, your anger, but we are involved in trying to increase your awareness. We're discussing that it's not that one race is better than another race, but there are certain patterns to different races, as there are certain patterns to different cultures. One of the things that would bother you if you were a visitor to this planet is that you would be amazed to see how much people play mind games on each other. And you would particularly be amazed to see how much those in white bodies play mind games on those in bodies of color. Beloved, you are not aware of how much your mind space is being intervened in your jobs, as you're walking on the streets, as you're sitting in the bus. Sometimes in my own work, I feel a little afraid sometimes when people get too close to me, because I understand how mentalists can project on the minds of those who are around me to cause various types of confusion, chaos, disturbance. So many situations have been influenced due to the energy of mentalists making certain types of projections. Now, we are mentioning this just as a way to let you know of all the subliminal effects, the kind of things that are going on daily, so that you will sense a need to protect yourself and to imbibe higher spiritual energy, to raise your vibrations, and this will guarantee you more ability to be unaffected by things that happen to you without your awareness. When we look at the whole scheme of mysticism, we see that one can have mystic power and be pious as well as to be impious. Many people use mystic talents in an impious way. And so those who intervene on your mental spaces, because in your bodies very few of you have that kind of ability to do that. And very few of you are aware of how these things happen. Some of you who may sense it sometimes, that you just look and see who seems to be staring at you. Someone is staring at you very intensely, there's a very good chance that they're entering into your mental space. You make an experiment sometimes and you think very strong thoughts, and then you sometimes watch those in your environment and you will be shocked to see how some people in your environment are picking up on you. This is a thing that bothers those who are sensitive to things that are going on between the races, things that are going on this planet, because much of what has brought civilization to where it is at now is due to misuse of certain powers. And we'll discuss that in relationship to those of you, to those of us in these particular bodies, of why we're in some conditions that we're in now. Now, we've discussed in the past how somebody can sometimes heal the sick and read minds and do other things due to the fact that they are empowered by some demonic energy. Someone can make a basis, someone can worship in a way to invoke some presence that can give power, but in a negative sense. There are also those who have the ability to have certain mystic cities or mystic powers through various kinds of pious austerities, through various types of study, through certain types of associations. There's about 6 or so very distinct mystic potencies that a yogi, a sage, can acquire. A master, a teacher. These mystic powers are just that. There's a difference between material power, metaphysical or psychic power, and spirituality. They are different. Often we think that mystic power is spirituality. It is not necessarily. One may acquire certain mystic tendencies due to one's growth. These things can come as a product, as a byproduct. As long as a person is too attached to materialism, as long as a person is too attached to psychic power, as long as a person is too attached to distinctions and adorations, such person cannot enter into the higher contacts with the Lord. Such person cannot be free of transcending these material universes. One can go up and down and up and have all types of positions, but not be able to transcend out of the process of samsara or birth and death. So even we have to come to a point where we're no longer enamored by mystic powers. I'm going to mention some of the powers to you so that you allow yourself to reflect on it and put it behind you. Many of you in your practices are more focusing on developing mystic power than actual devotion and love. And therefore, that will create a distraction in your growth. One mystic power is one can have the ability to make the body very, very small, even invisible. Another mystic power is that one can travel not only to other dimensions, but to other planets and other universes. Another type, and that is not so unusual, even some of the recent saints have been known to appear in different places at different times, Joan of Arc, St. Francis of Assisi, and they weren't so far out that they had even that ability. What to say of those who are from higher realms, or what to say of those who are doing such things as direct agents of the Lord, of the transcendental state, as they have ability to do whatever is necessary for their service. Another type of mystic power is called prapti-siddhi, or the ability where one can manifest some object from an environment that's different from the immediate environment. One can summon some particular object or arrange the modes of nature to allow something to manifest in this particular environment. Another type of mystic siddhi is where one has the ability to hypnotize many people at the same time, and to cause you to act in a certain way, see a certain thing, respond in a certain capacity. Another type of mystic city is what we saw with, Ezekiel and Jesus, where they brought the dead back to life. And therefore it is summoning the soul into the same physical body, and allowing now complete rejuvenation to take place. And there are others that deal with going against all the basic laws of nature, being able to operate in such a way to make things happen, etc. Now, all of these are using subtle material energy. All of these have mainly affiliation with the subtle body, not necessarily the soul. One must be free of being attached. Sometimes a spiritualist has had many, many lifetimes in this universe and other universes dabbling in the areas of psychic schemes, and that has been a sense of stagnation. And there are several of you who are in that capacity. In these discussions, we are addressing individuals, personally and collectively. If we don't give you something to help you in your progress, we have cheated you. And if we cheat you, we have to pay the price for cheating you. We have to pay a serious price for giving you any less than what we have accessible that is yours. If our cheating spiritualists understood what the commission is when they abuse knowledge or they misuse others, they would be very shocked, and they would definitely walk a straight path, because cheating spiritualists suffer in tremendous ways, even more than the average person who makes a sin. We want to bring to your attention something in regard to negative use of mystic power. And we apologize because we're going to step on your toes a little bit. We never step too hard, but a little. Many of you are becoming very involved in African culture as you're trying to revitalize sense of identity and heritage. There is tremendous confusion about what is African culture. There are teachers who are teaching you how to invoke and become possessed with negative spirits, disembodied entities, ghosts. And they are leading you to think that that is African culture. Rituals that deal with blood, that deal with flesh, rituals that deal with something entering inside of you, taking your body over, is not African culture. Even though there are many, many places throughout Africa where such things are practiced. Just as from the Yoruba tradition, presently, so many things are done to invoke the deities, disembodied entities, to enter into your body and to put you in a state of trance. This is not the original African culture. Those teachers, masters of the actual pure sense of African culture, know that people who do these things were part of the uninitiates, who were like on the peripheral, and therefore they involved their own schools. Do you think that the divine is going to enter into someone who is basically asking for material things? Do you think that God can be so easily bribed and his assistants and his attendants? In most of these rituals, it is some demands based on some material thing. If it was something spiritual, then there would be no need to even call on such entities. It would be a matter of, dear Lord, thy will be done. Use me as you like. Teach me. Let me experience what is necessary for growth to be your servant. There would be no need for all of this kind of dabbling. And what is happening is that some teachers, with all due respects, because they are not aware of what they're doing, they're involving many blacks on this continent, also in the Caribbeans. And what is happening, they're inviting you to rituals, teaching you ritualistic activities, and you're attracting many entities from the lower kingdoms, from the astral realms. You're attracting many disembodied thoughts, and some of you are going to be possessed for the rest of this life if you're not careful. When you're being invited to come to some place and there are some rituals, some service at some graveyard, at some weird hours of the night, and it's some service based on offering sacrifice of some animals, some blood, just think, what is that? Is God to be bribed by cutting up some chicken? Is God to be bribed by putting some blood on you? Is God to be bribed? Is he so much of an incompetent God, so weak, that he's in need of your little bribe? That you give him the bribe, that he's going to make something happen for you? We are not contacting the angelic beings, and we are not in line with the transcendental. And I apologize, this may have some effect with some of the things that some of you are doing, but we care about you, beloved. And we understand the devastation of possessions when they take place. And we understand how many sinister entities are trying to dominate and find ways to enter more into situations where they can prevail. As an example, we had, I was discussing some of these things with some of my disciples in Ghana. And I was showing how it's in the Christian tradition also. Across the street from one of our monasteries, there was this one church where people were speaking in tongues. And so what happens is that at some point, the minister gives the sign, okay, everybody now, start speaking in tongues. And the people are babbling, falling out on the floor, everything. And then at some point, the minister says, okay, stop. Now, doesn't that tell you something? Even here, some of your own churches, some of you may be participants of this, and you are speaking and you're babbling and something is entering and throwing you on the floor. And the minister is coming trying to interpret your babble. And he's giving you some wonderful dissertation about that babble. And a few minutes later, you are up now and the basket is being passed and the money is going and everyone goes home. You think the Spirit of God is so cheap that it enters in you and it has to leave like that? Soon as someone says, okay, now it's all over, pass the tray around. God is not so cheap. There are hundreds of thousands of people who are practicing that kind of religion right here in this particular country. And those who do invoke these entities who start speaking and making you speak like that, it's going to throw a lady 65 years old down through the aisles. That is not God-oriented. And if we allow ourselves to take shelter of such situations, then we are either consciously or unconsciously being manipulated in a negative way. We want to bring to your attention as we look at vibration, because when these things enter into you, they cause you to speak, they cause you to hear certain things, and it's very difficult to be able to sometimes exercise some of these entities. That's why we're finding more and more people are committing serial murders. They're talking about how they hear voices. More and more people are developing schizophrenia, where there seems to be more than one person. Many people are noticing that they just feel so drained all the time, because sometimes they are carriers, or they've been around this kind of atmosphere, and they're being drained by it. Another point, beloved, is the vibrations that you utter out of your mouth. Sometimes people wonder, why is it at this time that if black folk were such founders of civilization, that there's such difficulty learning? Those who understand karma have some inkling of what may or might have happened. There were times when there was so much higher knowledge that we naturally had accessible, used or misused, abused. Those who have the higher and they abuse it, then there is different types of penalties that one has to pay. A lot of this was due to cursing and conger cursing. There's a tremendous amount, even now, on the African continent, of people who are professional cursers. One of my duties in working with a lot of the diplomats is giving them some techniques about how to be free of curses or how to avoid curses. People go to the village and they find someone and they pay the person and they get the person to make all kinds of spells and curses. And then someone is counter-cursing and the whole thing goes on. Well, this is something that has had a tremendous effect in bringing down now what we have that we're now calling black culture. That there were a time when there was so much higher knowledge and it was highly abused due to exploitive activities amongst ourselves. You say, my friend, oh, you don't say friend, but you're addressing someone and you're looking and thinking and talking to them and saying, you go to hell. Do you realize what you are putting out in the atmosphere? What you are saying to that person? You are saying to that person that forever and ever and ever I want you to burn. Forever and ever, I want you to be lost, suffering. Isn't that a heavy vibration to say to someone, to put out in the atmosphere? Sound does not just stop in one place. When you tell someone, MF, do you realize what you're saying? The mother is the root of all cultures. The mother is the caring spirit. When you are addressing someone and you're telling them that you are a MF, the intensity of what you are putting out on that person in the atmosphere, affecting the ethers of the cosmos. And what you put out, it also comes back to you. What you put out, it also affects people in the different environments. And it deals with conscious degrading. When you address someone and you say, God, you know the rest of it, you are saying, may God damn you for eternity. For someone to be damned is to be cursed. You are telling them, the most merciful Mother, Father, God, who is your protector, who is your provider, who is the one who you are to give all reverence and love and devotion for, the one who is to provide all protection for you. You are saying, may that God forget you, leave you out of his blessings, and literally chastise you forever. Avoid these curse words. Avoid cursing. Usually we wind up cursing someone who we are associating with on a regular basis. And therefore we are destroying our own environments, our own community, and ourselves by speaking in these ways, allowing these kind of energies to bombard us and come back to us. And we are bringing more and more situations of degradation by doing such. The opposite, of course, is you project words of divinity, words of conscious raising. Even when somebody projects negative words on you, you extinguish what they're saying and doing by your higher words and thoughts and energy and move on, so that you play your part in raising the consciousness of this planet before it is too late. Next point is, many of you who are spiritualists, see, most of these conversations we have are for seasoned spiritualists. We are speaking for people to have a lot of technology in the background so they can affect many, many, many people. One thing you have to be very careful about in your growth is, as you become more spiritual, you will naturally become more attractive. As you become more attractive, you will draw people to you who are also spiritual, who are also very attractive. Very soft, sweet, devotional energy. Watch out. Because if you are not careful, you will exploit that energy. And if you've done it already, you're going to pay heavy prices. Because if someone comes to you, you are a metaphysician, you are an astrologer, you are a spiritualist, you are a mentor, you are a teacher, someone comes to you as a dependent and you exploit that person, you are engaging in incest. Someone has come to you in the spirit of making a contact so you can help that person to know more about God, taking you as mother, father, and energy, and you exploit such person, then you are going to be dealt with by the highest kings. So you must be very careful, because naturally, as you are becoming more spiritual, you're going to draw, especially the opposite sex. Why? Because as you're becoming more spiritual, you are naturally reflecting some of the love of God is becoming more and more dominant in your consciousness, in your body. As you are clearing some of the molds, what is happening is that your soul quality is coming out. And as your soul quality comes out, it is dynamic. It is attractive. And as you draw people by your energy, you must be careful that as you draw them, that you keep in mind that you have a duty to perform on behalf of God, so that you'll be able to regulate and control your particular passions. Many, many spiritualists, so-called, have fallen due to not being cognizant and conscious of how to interact with that energy. Everything is about love. As we're looking at how to handle all of these problems that the world is facing, societies are facing, the energy to deal with it is love. Love is like the water. The mantra chanting, your prayers, your hymns, your practices, rituals, that is like the soap. The soap has no value for you without the water. You can have all types of soap. Doesn't matter whether it's a bar soap, whether it's Tide. It has no ability to function without the water. when the love is there and you have it with the other necessary things, then one can become effective. When the love is not properly understood, then it becomes the energy of lust. And lust brings more negative vibrations. Lust brings more and more self-centeredness, exploitation, manipulation, which interferes from our ability to excel and to graduate beyond being the slaves of this body. You would be amazed to know how many things are going on in the world due to the lust exchange. How that manifests in so many ways to bring people to states of devastation. It is causing much of the nationalism, racism, tribalism. It is interfering so much with man's ability really to be his brother's keeper. We have to come to a point where we really understand what it means to love our neighbor as ourself. We have to come to a point where you can look in a person's eyes and you can feel the love coming from them because it is coming from you. And you're looking at a mirror and it is projecting back at you. We have to come to a point where we are able to move into environments. And because of the high level of loving energy that we have, that we will naturally pick up others in that environment. This will allow a tremendous amount of protection. This will allow a tremendous situation where less of the negative vibrations affect you and devastate you, and where you will draw the higher. One or two more short things, and we want to open up the discourse. We're not going to speak much about self-sufficiency and nation-building, because we're going to have discussions on that in a few weeks. We're going to discuss many things, relationship to self-sufficiency and developing various schemes where there's collective participation in arranging for the economic and the sociological aspect. So we want to take more advantage in giving you a few warnings that will allow you to be more cautious, more careful, so that you can move with greater haste. One Muslim emperor named Akbar, he was inquiring from one of his ministers, how long does a person remain lusty? And the minister told him, unto death. And so he wanted to give him an example. He went to one hospital where one elderly gentleman was dying. And he told him, I want you to notice, when your young daughter comes into the room, you notice what happens. So when Akbar and his young attractive daughter came in, just as the minister expected, the old man moved around, jumped up, was doing everything he could, trying to look and to enjoy the form that was in front of him, even though he could barely breathe. You know, an example similar was when the Jews were being taken to the gas chambers, that even though death was so near, there was just so much promiscuous activities, sexual activities going on. Well, there is nothing wrong, obviously, with sex. Nothing wrong with people coming together, but there's always something wrong with promiscuousness. There's always something wrong where we allow ourselves to be out of control and we look at each other as machines or someone as an object for your gratification, because that kind of consciousness extends itself in your relationships as you interact in the society. Then we have to be careful that we don't become in consciousness where we are somehow or other physically able to control ourselves, but then psychologically we become so puffed up. There's another story of a priest who was always speaking, giving sermons about the prostitute down the street, how sinful that she was. And the priest was saying, this woman is so sinful. Every day she has customers come from all over the city. And they're coming in, they're going out, and they're coming and going. Every time a customer goes there, I'm going to put a rock right here. And you're going to see how sinful this lady is. The poor prostitute, when she heard how the so-called man of God was experiencing such disturbance by her activities, she had such a change of mind, such a change of heart, she felt so bad. It was terrible to her that her profession was causing people at this church to be talking about her and the minister to be giving sermons about her regularly. She felt so bad that she made a change. And she repented in consciousness. Where the minister, being so puffed up and so much self-righteous and meditating so much on these things, gradually fell and wanted to enjoy prostitution himself. So we have to be careful not to be self-righteous. We have to first try to control ourselves and be properly situated as spiritual entities, knowing how to restrain, how to refrain, when to act, when not to act, but also not having some sense of false ego that then brings in more of the things that we're perhaps trying to conquer and avoid. So in summary, we're emphasizing that the way that we get strength is through calling on the names of God. This is one of the most powerful involvements of meditation. Even though you may not be conscious of effects that take place, but because the great attendants of God are just waiting for you to open yourself up more to receive help, as you are calling, you are allowing yourself to align more with the help that's accessible. And then that help begins to become very dominant for you. We mentioned through the meditation that one should not consider that they are the physical body, but that you are the essence inside of that physical body. You are the spirit or the soul. Accompanying the spirit is the super soul or presence of God that we can contact and be able to get all types of reciprocation from. We discussed that as long as someone is attached to materialism, material opulences, you know, we come into the world how? We come into this world with nothing. And how do we leave? We leave with nothing. Then all the time that we are here, we're thinking that we own something. We can't take one dime, one penny with us. But we do take the karma from misuse or abuse of what things were made available to us supposed to be the caretakers of. So, the constant theme that we should be in the world but not of the world. If you are in the world, every time you hear about some problem on the news, every time you hear another lecture about some other form of negative activity, you'll become so bewildered. Because you're considering that it's going to be such a threat to your physical body. You're going to consider it's going to be such a threat to your ability to enjoy sense gratification. But if you are not identifying or overly identifying, realizing that this is a world of limitations, it is a world that is designed to give you some sense of chance to reform, then you will move through and you will not be so affected. When you hear genocide, you know that there's always genocide going on. When you hear about drug scams or this problem or that problem, you realize that, yes, this is a training ground where people have a chance to certify themselves and to move on or to involve themselves more entangling and then have to pay the price for not properly taking advantage of what was accessible, what was available. And you will do like a student who's in school. The student is in the school, and there are all types of students. Some people are playing hooky, some people are cheating, some people are sleeping. But the serious student knows that he or she has their lesson, and they want to get their lesson and get out of that institution. So don't blame others for what you do or not or don't do. Don't blame anybody in your family. Don't blame anybody at your work. Don't blame anybody in your race or anybody in another race. Because nothing can stop you from being able to have your conscious connection and reciprocation with the Lord. And the Lord knows what you have and what you are holding back. Your acceleration is based on how little you are holding back. Surrender is not based on what you give, what you do, but it's based on what you have left. And that is being observed. And as we come to a point that we have become sold out, and we're not holding back anything, then at that point, we're able to fully to have what is really ours. Eternal consciousness, full of bliss and full of knowledge. Our last point was emphasizing that we have to be careful in miscuing mystic power, miscuing psychic phenomena, thinking that that's spiritual. We have to be careful about engaging in rituals that invoke the presence of negative sources, whether it's from the so-called activities of African culture or those from the present Christian traditions, where people are speaking in tongues or engaging in rituals that invokes negative energies and entities. And we have to know the power of the sex energy, because the glue for all of these things is love. And the distraction of that love is lust. Selfishness rather than selflessness. We have to have a mantra that we are love in action here. Carry that with you. You are love in action. And you will be amazed to see how you move through situations without being so affected. You are love in action here, repeating the names of God so that they vibrate throughout your whole being, so that eventually you come to a point that you're speaking, you're walking, you're laughing, you're singing, you're lying down, whatever, that the names of God are permeating throughout your whole consciousness. As you come to that state, you will no longer be in any way limited to the view, to the contacts of this world, but you have already made your transcendence even now while you're in this physical body. So you chant the names of God in your meditations, in the heart, or you chant orderly. Orderly, you are also helping other living entities in the environment. Because when the names of God are spoken, animate as well as inanimate beings also benefit. And as you do that, you come to a point that it becomes a natural part of you, that is, if your whole being is just carrying around the name of God, the energy of God, the love of God, and that type of vibration will have a tremendous effect. It will automatically connect you with the angelic host that is working on behalf of the Lord. It will automatically give you protection in those times when all seems to be lost. It will automatically let you be one who has the mark of the Lord on the forehead. This is a matter of consciousness. And the technique of repeating the Lord's name of desperation will allow you to have that with the love. And the last thing is that there is always need for a guide. Don't let people fool you and think that you don't need a guide. Everything you do, you always have some kind of associations. You want to be a good sportsman, you want to be a good musician, you want to be an architect. You don't just read a book only. You don't let somebody operate on you who just read a book. But you want to know he's been to internship, and you want to see how he's been trained, and you want to know about the performance. So when we do those things and we have a guide, we have a spiritual mentor teacher, then this way it helps us to move fast, it helps to give us protection, it helps us to know how to cue in to get maximum effect. And if we get maximum effect, or we are under the agents of the Lord, then they have the ability to be it for us. When we are following a process, we should see some effects. In Sanskrit, we say, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Vayogi Galayatsu Vayagyam Dhanachayora Hoitakam. That when you engage in genuine devotional activities that are really spiritual, something happens in your life. You begin to acquire causeless knowledge, and you acquire detachment. If you're in spiritual systems and you're not beginning to acquire some knowledge beyond your norm, if you're not beginning to acquire a sense of detachment, well, you're beginning to aspire more and more for the higher, and your lust factor is declining, then there's something a little impotent about that alignment. When you are under a proper mentor, what happens is tadvini pani patina pari pashena shevaya upadakshanti te janam dhanyas tabadashinaha. The translation tells us that if you seek shelter from a true teacher, that master can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Someone cannot give you, beloved, what they don't have. They cannot give you what they're not in contact with. But if they are in contact with the higher, they can align you with the higher. By you calling on the names of God, seriously with dedication, watching your diet, avoiding illicit sex, avoiding gambling, avoiding intoxication, living in environments where you're constantly trying to see yourself as your brother's keeper, and if you have a proper mentor, we can guarantee you that you will be able to reach paradise in this lifetime. And it's not a pie-in-the-sky arrangement. It means even in your self-same body, you can be able to be aware and in contact with the spiritual world now. It is not a matter of waiting until you die. It's not a matter of many, many lifetimes. It is all based on our intensity of desperation and our loving cause that invokes the Lord's mercy. So we're going to stop there, and we have a short time for a few questions. We want to introduce the staff, so that took a little extra time today. And so we want to also encourage you, if you have a question, come up to the mic while I'm saying the last one or two things. We remind you now that the activities of the Institute are not stopping, but they're going to accelerate. You've been hearing me every Wednesday for the last couple of weeks. Try to get tapes if you missed some of the classes. And particularly try to tune in more to operating using some of these things that we're mentioning in your own life. And the members of the staff will be discussing more and more points for you personally and collectively as you come to these programs every Wednesday.
Assalamu alaikum. I first like to say that thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity to be in your presence again. And certainly to have experienced having sat with you for these last few weeks, alhamdulillah. I was speaking with one of our teachers, and in the discussion, he said something that he asked me to ask you in seeking an answer. He said that He knew himself before he was born. He knew his work, and he also said he knew himself even before he was a sperm in his father. And so he asked me what I understood that to mean, and I had to think. And then he suggested that I ask you as to how such a thing could be. So this is my question.
So somebody who didn't hear, he's mentioned that one of his teachers told him to ask me what is responsible for something that the teacher is experiencing. Teacher is experiencing that he knew himself before he came into this world, into the body, that he was aware of himself. Well, yes, this is possible. There are special categories even of beings who have a very high calling, and they are commissioned to come in and out of different environments. As a matter of fact, even some of you, if we put you in a deep hypnotic trance, you will be amazed to be able to know that you could recall when you came into this particular body, when you came into this world. And some of very, very high commission will be amazed as they remember the associations that they had before they came into this particular realm. We were mentioning how we're not the physical body, but we are the soul. So the soul, if it can leave, it can also enter, it can enter, it can also go. At some point, it has made that transition. The consciousness is always there, it's just that normally we are not sensitive to the recollections of such things. But there are some people who are aware of their previous lives, and there are some people who are highly sensitive where they have knowledge of coming in this existence as well as other incarnations. So if your teacher had that experience, that is a sign of someone who does have a special calling. It's a sign of someone who is being given some knowledge in that way so that they will always be more attuned to the paranormal, what is beyond the statistical, and that can help to inspire the person to keep making a deeper quest for spirituality.
My question is, I'm a little confused on the area of prosperity, because you have some people that are in the metaphysical realm that mention about the laws of abundance and laws of prosperity. So between the laws of prosperity and you mentioned about making use of the things that are sent to us to be the caretakers of, and then so is it my understanding that prosperity is more or less an attitude of life more than the requirement of materialism that the Creator sends to you to be the caretakers of? Or could you clarify that for me?
That's a nice question. Renunciation is not a matter of giving up something. It's like someone says, I'm going to renounce the Brooklyn Bridge. I don't want it. It's not mine. That's the condition when we say we're going to renounce something. What do we own? We don't own anything. However, we can have the mental attachment which we have to be able to integrate, or we have to renounce. It is not that being spiritual means that you are poor or you have to be poor. Not at all. Some of the greatest spirituals have been tremendously wealthy. But it does mean that whether you are wealthy or poor externally, that you are wealthy internally. That you have an abundance of wealth in terms of your love and your ability to follow the laws of God and your ability to be the servant of the Supreme Mother, Father, God. In our neophyte stages, we have to be very careful, though, about what physical things we involve ourselves with, because we can become overly attached. But there is the effort often that we have to restrain ourselves from certain things. Now, there's certain things that we don't do because they're just unnatural. They're against the laws of God. That is a thing of itself. That must be avoided. But in terms of whether we have a lot of something or a little of something, we must do what? We must see ourselves as the caretakers of whatever we have, using our minds to have more and more appreciation of those things, trying to improve with the quality. If we have almost nothing, we must use that to the best that we can, dedicating our being to use that properly. Why? Because if God has given you something, then He knows what He has given you, and it's up to you to give back. And that is a loving reciprocation. If He's given you a lot, He knows it, and He's going to watch what you do with it. If He's given you a little, He also knows that, and will take notice of what you do. Last point is that we really can't do anything for the Father, Mother, God. We can't do anything, really. But we are having a whole drama of having a chance to interact and to use things for our own purification. And that is why everyone should always see themselves as very important. Because one person has the ability to change a universe, actually. If they can increase the quality of their devotion, there are many cases where tremendous things have happened due to just the purity of one person on a particular planet. It is like you give your small child some money to go and buy you a Father's Day present. You have given the money, the child has bought something, and you are very happy with what the child has bought. But you've actually bought it yourself. But you're happy because of the loving energy and exchange that's involved. So when the Lord gives us something, then there is a sweetness if we use it properly. So it is a matter of consciousness. rather than the physical activity of what we have or what we don't have. And the last part of that same question, answer, is in our exchanges or relationships with our children, with our wives, with our husbands, and would you say with our property. If we really want to be in the higher consciousness, we must see ourselves as the caretakers and not the owners. Caretaker means that whatever you have has been arranged for you by the Lord. And if you consider that it's come from the Lord, then you'll be so attentive in how you use it and what you do with it. Then the man will see his wife as a gift from God. And the wife will see her husband as a gift from God. And they will be so much more careful about how they interact because the wife is having the Son of God that she is able to care, to take care of. And the husband is having a daughter of the Lord. And what happens is that now the mature things give less problems in the relationship. And now they're all becoming more God conscious because their interactions is done as an offering, as a service to the Supreme. What you do is what you think is what you become, as a kind of force field you create and what you share. So if we imbibe more and more of the transcendental in our thoughts, we become that. As we practice being pure, as we practice talking to the Lord, as we practice reciprocating to the Lord, then that practice will turn into a reality.
Kind of short. On a recent newscast, a weather report, they showed a video of a film during the Hugo storm, and in the middle of the storm, right in the clouds, was a form, an entity with a long white robe on. And I wanted to ask you who that entity was or what it represented. It's clear as day, though you couldn't really see the face of someone standing in the clouds.
I don't know that particular situation, but we can address the general concern. There are always guardian angels that are overseeing the various individuals in this universe, overseeing the conditions that are going on amongst the nations, overseeing the particular effects that we're having on the atmosphere. Whether we're reading the Quran or the Bible or the Torah or the Vedas, we constantly hear about angels, about archangels, about devas and demigods. These are not just folk tales or fairy tales, but beloved, in your own lifetimes, you're going to see coming out of the skies, you're going to see your elder brothers. You're going to see in your own lifetimes that the planet is going to make tremendous changes in what is geographically understood to be continents. You're going to experience certain land masses going under, certain going up, and you're going to see that by the prayers and the chants and the positive reflections of those light bearers, they're going to call and bring in divine intervention. The problems the world is now facing cannot be actually changed just by our own account. It has gone too far. There is too much negative, highly empowered, sinister energy and influences on the citizens of this particular universe that it is already summoning in agents to assist. And that is why over many of the nuclear plants, there's extraterrestrials being sighted. That is why more countries now than ever before, there are these experiences that are going on. Some of you have had experiences. That is why these things are happening more now, because the great scriptures have predicted that there will come a time when we'll see massive interventions. Well, we are at that arrangement now, and it is already happening. Already this planet is infiltrated with very powerful personalities who have a service of being able to guard you, guide you through, and will offer a tremendous amount of assistance when you need it most. That is why we are having many of the discussions about entering into the 21st century, because we're no longer talking about what was predicted or what might be. It is already happening.
Eastern Blessing, I just want to know the significance of the flowers that you wear and flowers in the house and whatever information you can share on flowers in our lives.
Okay. I think we'll take two more questions and then many of you have to go to school, you have to go to work, and a lot of you haven't even eaten yet. That's very sorry. Flowers in the Afro-Asiatic tradition emphasizes love, emphasizes a welcoming. You know, even in our Western tradition, we give flowers when someone's sick. We bring flowers to a girlfriend, or you bring flowers to the boyfriend, or you bring flowers to your mother. And it just naturally creates a vibration of pleasantry. It naturally expresses some reciprocation of caring, of sharing. And particularly in Africa and India, when a leader comes, for instance, off the plane, a head of state, sometimes a governor, then a wreath of flowers is put on the person's neck. The understanding is that you are most welcome, you are most invited. So often the guru, who is a carrier of devotion and love, and a carrier of always trying to welcome everyone to move faster toward the kingdom of God, you will sometimes see that one will have a wreath of flowers, and it has that psychological effect and that metaphysical penetration also. So it's creating pleasantry, and it is welcoming, and it is affecting the atmosphere and trying to create more consciousness about moving toward the treasures that are accessible.
You mentioned in the beginning about you don't want to really bring race into it, but again, you said we choose the body that we're in. So my question is, based on the cosmetic industry making so much money and prospect making so much money in the future, to me it seems like if everyone would pick these bodies that they were satisfied with, and that they wouldn't make so much money. And I want to know specifically, how specifically do people choose their bodies? Do they get into height, weight, nail, fingernail thickness, hair texture, skin tone, nose, chin, so forth and so forth?
Yes. What happens is one doesn't necessarily choose specifically, but one chooses generally, and certain traits come along accompanying. Just for instance, free will is there, which allows us to press a certain button. Once we press that button, behind each button is a certain chain of activity that is in accord with that button. It is not that a person will choose a body that's going to be blind. It's not that a person chooses a body that's going to be lame. But the aggregate of their karma solicited that is the kind of package that they are now having for the kind of learning experiences that must be constituted with what they learned or didn't learn in their previous time, previous or last life. When we leave this body, in summary, very brief, we have to go before a karmic board. That board helps to arrange what our next existence is going to be. And there is determination based on the higher entity's evaluation, based on what we've done and what we have to experience, which will determine whether we'll come in a male's body or a female's body. Whether we'll come as a European, as an Asian, as an African, whether we'll come as a Chinese, whether we come as Afro, whatever. All of that is based on what conditions and experiences the soul is going to undergo due to how much we want to know the Lord, how much we're running away, or how much we're trying to manipulate the mature energies, how much we're envious of the Lord, due to who we've abused, who we misuse, who we help. All of those kind of things are considered. And then it's consideration in which do we want first. We want to first be able to experience the positive results from our pious activities, or do we first want to have to undergo for our negative activities? And with such considerations, it is all arranged. Our senses, the color of the body we have, the mother or father that we're going to associate with, all of these things are so highly scientifically arranged. I think this is the last question. This is lady. Let her come. She's new.
My life has changed since I first found a Bhagavad Gita in a trash can. And since then, I always have been chanting Hare Krishna every day. And now I have this bracelet here, and lately I have discovered that it has a Sanskrit on it. So I couldn't be more pleased about it. But I would like to know if you would be able to translate what the words mean so I could consciously be more in touch with the love of God.
Let me do this in summary.
Some other time?
Yes.
Okay.
That if you just try to chant any name of God you feel comfortable with.
Yes.
But understand that just chanting or calling a name is not as important as calling with the devotion of like a child who's crying for the parent. So as you chant God's name, utterly or through meditation, it will increase your ability that when you read translated books, you will be able to go deeper into those books many times over. It is not just a matter of reading scripture, or a matter of engaging in meditation or yajnas or atoning or decrees. These things must go together. When you have the scripture, and you have the practice, and you have the guide, you have a sandwich. It's very powerful. One connects with another and allows very nice progress. So the name of God you feel comfortable with, you chant. The book she's mentioning is called Bhagavad Gita, which is a very powerful esoteric book that has a tremendous way to help to enliven the soul. And it has a lot of things about life after death. It talks a lot about the activities of one trying to carry out their particular duty in this lifetime. We suggest some of you will get that book. We have it, the staff has that book, Bhagavad Gita as it is. When you have opportunity, try to read that particular book. She's read it and it's given her great happiness.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm just going to take him back.
I'll let you have this for a while. Okay.
Swami Krishna Pada, I have my own question that somebody had given me this question from the audience.
Okay, let's read their question, then we're going to get it very late.
What is surrender? Many people are asking this question. Now, you've introduced them to the point where many want to surrender. I said, what is the term surrender? What do I do to surrender? That is my question. Now, the question for the general, honorable gentleman, is this. Honorable Swami, just when it appeared that nations were breaking down, the walls that divided them, and man dared to hope for a better tomorrow, up comes Operation Desert Shield. That puts us on the brink of another major war. Rumors of an impending military coup in the Soviet Union. Havoc reigns among our brothers in South Africa. Just yesterday, war broke out again in Lebanon. Bush sending the sons and daughters of the low and middle class abroad to defend our standard of living here and in the Western industrialized nations, but at the same time neglecting our standard of living at home. What's going on? What's next? World peace or the gradual destruction of the world?
Okay, so that's a good one to end on, I think. First, I say, which is surrender. We discussed a few minutes ago that surrender is not what you give, but it's based on what you hold back. Surrender is not necessarily the physical activity, but it's knowing what is to be offered and being able to offer that without cheating or without being reluctant, without procrastinating. Some temporary period, it seems things are getting better, and then things get worse. This is all birth pains. As the child is about to come out of the womb, then you get all types of complications. That is always a given situation, but it is a sign that a new era or a sign that a new life is about to take place. Before the new life takes place, there will be many other types of conflicts and confusions, and unfortunately, billions or millions of people will leave the planet or meet death. So that cleansing goes on. Why? The earth is reaching thresholds, the physical body is reaching thresholds, the environment is reaching thresholds, and it all needs cleansing. That was why we had you to chant, meditate with the Lord in the heart, and to experience chanting the names so that there is some internal cleansing that takes place. And we want to be in here, encourage you to keep on involving yourself in being clean. As the atmosphere gets more filthy and more dirty before it gets better, when you're cleaning up an attic, right? You're getting dust all over the place. You're getting dust from under the rugs, from the corners. And so at first it seems like everything is worse. But it's like that because you're getting all the dust together so you can take it out. So if you're finding in your own lives why you're trying now to become more spiritual, that sometimes you get more problems, more things are happening because you're getting the dust out. Or as we see the world in general, as it's going through, coming into a higher state of reality, that dust is coming up and the cheaters are getting exposed and many things are now coming forefront. This is all good there, and while it's happening, we have to hold very tight in being able to have the soap, which is your prayers, your meditations, which is your rituals, your activities, and we have to have the water, which we emphasize is the love. Love is the factor that can bring it all together and give us the ultimate reservoir of love, association with the loving supreme personality of Godhead.
Interest in the subject matter of this tape, please contact the Institute for Applied Spiritual Technology, P.O. Box 76451, Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C. 20013.
Face to face, and allow you also to have some association with the Lord in your heart, and to create a situation where you can have some association and some conversation with the Lord in the heart. At worst, through this meditation, you'll just feel very relaxed after coming out of it. At best, you'll realize how personal the relationship is with Mother, Father, God. At best, you realize that that's a very special appetite when you go in like that, and you want to fulfill that appetite. You want to be nourished like that. We will particularly ask you to focus on mantra, three different names of God that we will bring up. Mantra, of course, ma means mind, tra means to deliver. We are so bombarded by so many superfluous or unnecessary things that constantly weigh us down. We're constantly being bombarded by negative energy from our own lower nature, from the mentality of others, from so many things in our environment that are constantly sending signals that are sometimes unhealthy, sometimes are very devastating and very destructive for us. And so when we are calling someone, we're inviting that person. We're creating or establishing some reciprocation or some type of exchange. The more dynamic the person is, the more dynamic the activities of that person, the more powerful and profound the experience is when the call takes place and the contact is developed.